decided Miss Becky shouldn't be able to have all the fun with ways of playing with scripture. Can I play this morning, Miss Becky? With that, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my heart, may the words of my mouth come out clearly and focused, Lord. But may those words and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In so many ways, it seems like life simplified with this safer at home and limited in what we have done. And in so many ways, life has gotten so much more complicated. And I don't know how many of you have used the phrase corona brain or rona brain, but definitely I have my moments where COVID seems to have gotten my brain and muddled things up. So I apologize when I do stumble and say things wrong. I hope that in this grace series that you can give your dear pastor some grace. But this morning, as we move through the characters of Les Miserables, looking at the grace of God as seen through each of these characters, we have seen the overwhelming grace given to Jean Valjean. We have seen the struggle with grace because of the embrace to the law that Javert has. We have seen our call to see those in poverty with different eyes as we looked at poor Fantine. And this week, we move into the next generation of characters, specifically looking at Fantine's daughter Cosette and Marius. Now, Marius is one who was raised primarily by his grandfather. His grandfather had money, and his grandfather had passions and feelings that Marius could not agree with. He fought with his grandfather. He couldn't understand the political views that he had and held on to. And eventually, Marius leaves his grandfather's house, and his grandfather wishes him good riddance. The key relationship in Marius's life that should have been that of love and devotion and affection was a broken relationship. Now, Cosette, on the other hand, in her earliest of years, was raised by her mother, a single mother, but eventually, as we learned last week, was given to the I'm waiting for you to pronounce it. Thenardiers. I just can't do it on my own, y'all, no matter how many times I practice it. Given to the Thenardiers, who abuse her, use her, and show her anything but love. Until, in her dying wish, Fantine asks Jean Valjean to take care of Cosette and raise her as his own. Jean Valjean does just this. After searching, finally finds Cosette and takes her away from her abusive home and loves her in a way that he has never been able to love in his life. And she is able to receive the love that she was so worthy of. Well, Marius eventually sees and meets Cosette and falls deeply in love with her, has to have her. Of course, her grandfather does not agree, and the journey begins. The story is quite complicated, and I could spend my whole sermon telling us all of the webs and every detail, but I'm going to leave it there for now. And the realization that these characters show us a lot of examples of good love and lack of love. Because love is what I want to talk about today. Now here we have 1 Corinthians 13, most often heard where? but at weddings. Oh, everybody in the sanctuary just said it. We use it as weddings, as we look at a bride and a groom and use it as the example of how they are to love one another. And there's an error in that, because in so many ways, saving it for such an occasion makes it seem like the kind of love it is talking about is the kind of love between a husband and wife, two people who have fallen in love with one another. But when we go to the Bible and we go to the text, love is spoken over and over and over again. But our challenge is that our Old Testament is translated from Hebrew to English, and all sorts of Hebrew words get translated from their meaning to the word love. And six different Greek words in the New Testament get translated into the word love. So what do we have here? Seven different understandings of feelings and actions and ways that we interact with one another, all translated into one four-letter word. What does it mean? When we read the word love in the Bible, we need to stop and pause and find out which kind of love it is talking about. In the Old Testament, oftentimes it's talking about chesed, which is actually a love that is like a loyalty and a deep commitment. God so loved us, was so loyal and committed to us, that God would do anything for us. Now in the New Testament, six different words, y'all. Philetia, a love of self. That word is used in the New Testament. And what God is talking about of how we love ourselves and we're looking at how we love another, not the same thing, is it? Pragma, which is actually an understanding of love, understanding what it is, understanding the depths and the breadth of it. Ludus, which is a playful love. Eros, which is considered a passionate love. That is the love that we are often talking about when we talk about the way two people fall in love and see one another apart from how they see everyone else in the world. Not often used in the Bible. Phila, like Philadelphia, is a deep friendship or a brotherly love. My friends, I have a deep phila for every one of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And finally, last and certainly not least, agape. Agape is a godly love. Agape is the way that God loves us. Agape is unconditional. And in the Greek language and the theological understanding, it is the highest form of love, that nothing can be greater or deeper than the love called agape. And as we look at 1 Corinthians 13, which of these words is used but agape? This is not about how a husband and wife loves each other. This is about God's love poured out upon us and how we are invited to pour it out on others. So let's read this a little bit different. As we see that the scripture says, God's love is patient. It tells us that a godly love is kind. It tells us that a godly love is not envious. It tells us that a godly love does not boast. It tells us that a godly love is not proud. It tells us that a godly love does not, does not dishonor others. It tells us that a godly love is not self-seeking. It tells us that a godly love is not easily angered. It tells us that a godly love keeps no record of wrong. It tells us that a godly love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It tells us that a godly love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And it tells us that a godly love never fails. God's love poured into us in all these ways. And it just keeps pouring, because what is it? It is unconditional. There is no bottom to the well of God's love. It will not run out on us. As that last one says, it does not fail. God says, I keep pouring and pouring and pouring. And the scripture, it goes on. And what does it talk about? But the greatest of these is love. When we get down to the heart of the three most important things we've got, Miss Becky named them faith, hope, and love. And I'm going to repeat what she said from our author, because it's worth repeating. Of what do we see? But that faith is trusting that God will do what God promised to do. Faith is believing in the promises of God and believing that God is good on those promises. Hope is trusting in the things not seen. We can't see what's before us. We can't see what's coming. We can't see the future, but we have hope in it because of our faith in God. We cannot always see God, but we have hope in God and God's plans for us. And love is certainly the greatest of these, because it is the glue that holds faith and hope together. Love holds faith and hope together. In the deepest and darkest of times, in the most challenging of days, in the most painful experiences, there is God's love pouring into us without failing. And with faith, we have hope. Look at our characters. Marius eventually reconciles with his grandfather. The relationship is repaired. And we see it at the point when Marius calls his grandfather father. They get past their differences. They get past what separates them ideologically, and they come together in love for one another. Cosette, after being broken over and over again by the Thénardiers, receives love through Jean Valjean. Gets that fatherly figure in her life to protect her, care for her, and love her. Cosette and Marius fall in love with one another and are able to get that happily ever after with this story of war and poverty and injustice that leads finally to a happy ending in this couple. And one of the ways we also see it is Marius, who is revealed to him that Jean Valjean is a criminal, and he can only see that and despises Jean Valjean. But after Jean Valjean dies, Marius finds out that he is the one who saved his life, and his heart changes towards Jean Valjean, and he is able to love him through that action. We see so many forms of love in this story. We see so many of these different definitions in the Greek of how we love one another in all sorts of different ways. But we remember that the greatest of these is God's love for us and the love that we give to God. And so let us see how God is pouring out love into us, filling us up to overflowing. And now what can we give to other people because of what God has put into us? Peace, hope, love, patience, kindness, and that which never fails. My friends, the greatest act of agape was Jesus on the cross, which comes in just a couple of weeks for us. And as we see Jesus' sacrifice for us, let us remember that Scripture also tells us that the greatest love is to give one's life for another. And so how may it be that near the end of this Lenten season, we can see what Christ gave to us through love and to see where it is that we can fully give of ourselves for others. For this, let us pray. Gracious God, you have poured out your love upon us, that on the days that we need it most, you are there pouring it into us over and over again to overflowing. May we see and recognize that love, but may we also see of the ways that we can give love to others, to not see love as simply between two people, but to be able to see the full complexities of it in all of the ways that we can show it in this world. And let us allow love to conquer all because of you and the heart of you that is in the middle of it. For all of this, we pray in your name. Amen.